We're in Psalm 90 this morning. Open your Bibles to the 90th Psalm. Psalm 90 is a unique psalm. It's the only psalm that is credited to Moses. If that is true, then it's very likely that Psalm 90 is the oldest psalm that we have. Psalm 90 is constructed as a contrast. A contrast between the nature of God and the nature of man. It praises God's eternal nature, His sovereignty, and His holiness, while at the same time, interwoven within that, it recognizes man's frail mortality, his dependence on God, and the fact that he suffers God's wrath because of his sins. So we're going to see these themes working together as we go through this ancient psalm. We're not told the occasion for the writing of this psalm, but it appears that this psalm was written either during or perhaps towards the end of the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. We won't take the time to look, but remember in Numbers chapter 14, it's there that we read that that was the punishment for their sin of not believing in God and going in and taking the promised land. That was a promise that was given to them, but the 40 days that those spies were in the land would correspond to 40 years that they would have to wander in the wilderness, and it was during that time that that entire generation died out. None of them would be allowed to enter into the promised land, and Moses led them during that time. There's another thought that occurs to me as we look at this psalm, and I want to bring it to our attention as we get started. You notice the heading in the Bible is that Psalm 90 is a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Think with me for just a moment. What a blessing it is, and how much we need to appreciate listening to aged saints pray. What is it that is important to them, important enough to bring before God? How is it that they word these things before God, having gone through an entire life of being in fellowship with God and serving God? What is it that they have on their mind? There's a lot of wisdom that can be gleaned from listening to the prayers of aged saints. And in that, I would tell you sisters in Christ that you have an advantage over us men in that you get to listen to older women pray as well as older men. But what a blessing that is. What we're going to do as we study through this psalm is we're going to listen to Moses pray. What is it that he is praying about? Well, first, he begins in verses 1 and 2. He's talking about God. He begins by praising God as the dwelling place for himself and for his people. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Think about it. Israel has spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness without a permanent place. They have been living in tents. Not only that, but God's presence has been living in a tent. That's what the tabernacle was. It was a tent. And so there was no permanent abiding place there, but they were never once at a disadvantage because Moses says, you have been our abiding place. You have been our dwelling place. And that word dwelling place, translated from a Hebrew term, that indicates a place of safety and a place of refuge. It speaks of a permanent and settled abiding place. And then in verse 2, Moses addresses and praises God as the Eternal One. Remember, that's the way God introduced himself to Moses when this all started. On the mountain, in the burning bush. How did God identify himself to Moses? Exodus chapter 3 and at verse 14, I am, which indicated God's eternal nature. I've always been. I will always be. That's the first thing that Moses learned of God when he met God. And that's how he praises God here. He speaks of the mountains. And from a physical point of view, mountains would represent permanent fixtures on the landscape. Those mountains don't go anywhere. They've always been there. They're always going to be there. But it was God who put them there. There is one who's older than the mountains. There is one who is greater than the mountains. And that is our God. So God placed those mountains there. As a matter of fact, he's the one who planned and formed the entire world. He is from everlasting to everlasting. This psalm is about obtaining the wisdom that we need to live properly in this world. And until we establish the fact that God is our dwelling place, we're never going to get that wisdom. So this is where we begin. God is our dwelling place. God, the eternal one, is our dwelling place. And then Moses, in his prayer, speaks of the frailty of man. Because of God's eternal nature, and because of his position as our creator, this gives God sovereignty. That is, God is over all. God has authority over all, which means he has the right to tell us how to live, and he has the right to judge us when we don't. You turn man to destruction and say, "Return, O children of men." God causes his people to go through difficult times to bring them to repentance. And here they are wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. They were right there on the border of the promised land. And there was Caleb and there were Joshua saying, "Let's go and let's get it. It's right here. It's ours." And now they've got to wait. They've got to wait 40 years. And that seems like a lifetime. I can't imagine what that would have been like going through those 40 years waiting to go in and get your inheritance. But in verse 4, time doesn't mean anything to God. "For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, like a watch in the night." This same truth is echoed by Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3 and at verse 8, where to the Lord 1,000 years is as one day, and one day as 1,000 years. That means that time doesn't mean anything to God. Entrance into the promised land has been delayed 40 years, but that doesn't mean that God isn't going to keep his promise. God is not impacted by time. The promise, it will come. Verses 5 and 6, Moses again speaks of man's frailty and uses two figures that would have been very familiar to them as they were living in the wilderness. He talks about a flash flood, and he talks about the grass of the field as it withers during the day under the heat of the sun. "You carry them away like a flood. They are like a sleep. In the morning, they are like grass which grows up. In the morning, it flourishes and grows up. In the evening, it is cut down and withers." That's what man's life is like. There in the wilderness, rain didn't come very often, but when it did, often there would be a flash flood. And the wadis, that is the creek banks, would fill up very quickly, and then it would dissipate very quickly. And Moses says, that's what our life is like. It comes, and then it goes. Or the figure of the grass withering is used in other psalms and used by Peter as well in the book of 1 Peter. In the morning with the dew, it is strong, it is vibrant, but by the end of the day with the heat of the sun, it has withered and it is dead. And that's the way of life. James puts it like this, that our life is but a vapor that appears for a short time, and then it vanishes away. Moses was on to that long before James was. Moses saw the frailty of life. Think about this. During those 40 years, Moses and the survivors saw it firsthand. I ran across a figure this week doing some study for this psalm. I'm not a mathematician, so I didn't have the wherewithal to try to follow it up and see how accurate it was. But statistically, there would have been 8 funerals every day during those 40 years of wandering for that one generation that was over the age of 20, I believe it was, to completely die out. 8 funerals a day. Yes, Moses was very well acquainted with the frailty of life and man's mortality. Verses 7 and 8, all of this comes upon us because of our sins. Let's not fool ourselves into thinking that somehow we're innocent victims. Let's not fool ourselves that thinking that we're somehow actors in a cosmic tragedy and it's not our fault. We suffer, we have difficult lives because of sin. For we have been consumed by your anger and by your wrath, we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. Life is hard because of sin. Because of our sins and because of the sins of others. Life here is hard. But this idea that somehow we can sin and it's not going to impact us. Somehow we can sin and we're not really going to suffer from that. God's not really going to hold us accountable to that. That was one of the first lies that Satan ever told. Remember back in Genesis chapter 3, has God said you can't eat of the fruit of these trees? No, Eve replied. She replied correctly. We can eat of any tree except this one. The day that we eat of it, we shall surely die. And remember Satan's response. Oh, you'll not surely die. Surely not. God's not going to punish you for your sin. Well, yes, he does. And the reason life is hard here is because of sin. Because of sin. Look at verse 9. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. Like a breath and like a sigh we just sang in the song a moment ago. This word sigh is translated from a Hebrew word that means to moan. The idea is that life is short and life is hard, and when it's over, we just, life is done. No one wants to live a life like that. No one wants their life to end that way without any lasting good, without any lasting accomplishments. The King James Version renders this phrase that we finish our years as a tale that is told. And the idea there is, well, there's the tale and it's finished and it's done. It's no more. It's over. And what a sad way to look at life. Verse 10 is a familiar verse to many of us. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Now this passage doesn't mean that God has guaranteed every one of us at least 80 years, because we know better than that. We know a lot of people who have passed before that 80-year mark. And it doesn't mean that once you turn 80, then every day, who knows, it doesn't mean that we're to live that way. The point the Bible is making here is that life is short and it comes to an end. Life is temporary. It doesn't last forever. The lifespan of a healthy person may well be over 80 years. And that may seem like a long time to someone who is young. But this building is full of enough people who can assure you that time comes very quickly. That time passes very quickly. And you can't go back and live it again. And so you make the most of it that you can while you have it. Life is short. And life can be difficult. In giving a lecture on Psalm 90 at the 2016 Florida College Lectures, Brother John Trigg made this comment. It's on page 186 in that lecture book. Moses' description of human life can be summed up in this way. We get up from our cradles, stumble a few feet across the floor, and then tumble over into our coffins. That doesn't sound really great, does it? But that is one perspective on life. And that's the perspective that Moses has here, that life, it goes by quickly, and life is very hard. And what are we going to do with it? Well, now, if we stopped right here, we've listened to this aged saint pray, and he said some great things about God, but then he said some troubling things about mankind. And if he stopped here, perhaps we would be troubled ourselves. But he doesn't stop here. He continues to pray. So let's learn some more things about Moses as he's praying here. The conclusion of his prayer, verses 12 through 17, shows that the proper response to God's greatness and our mortality is to seek God's wisdom and seek God's favor. Look at verses 11 and 12. Who knows of the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. God is right to bring his wrath upon us. We know we will be judged for the way we live. And then verse 12, which I believe is the centerpiece of this psalm, and it is the verse that perhaps all of us remember the most. If not, that's my way of telling you this is the verse you need to remember most from this psalm. Take this home with you if you don't take home anything else. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. True wisdom is found in realizing our mortality and accountability before God. And so we need to live in full awareness that our hour is coming. That every day that we're driving along and we have to stop and pull over because of a funeral procession, we know one day people will be doing that for us. We know one day a grave will be dug for us. One day mourning will come to our loved ones because of us. Now, if we're wise, we'll understand that. And we'll live with that knowledge. And not that God wants us to live a morbid and cynical life, but he wants us to live with reality. Because of sin, death comes. And after death comes the judgment. And we've got to be ready for that. We have to be ready. Verses 13 through 15 I don't have on the board. It is Moses calling upon God for his mercy and his forgiveness and returning joy unto his life. And then verses 16 and 17. I did want to focus on these verses. Let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children. Here's this aged saint, and he's praying. And what is one request that he has in mind? What is one request that he makes unto God? He's praying for his children. And he's praying for the children of others. All of us who are parents know that if everything works out the way it's supposed to, we'll leave our children behind. We will leave our children to live in this world without our presence here. Have we prepared them? We've been successful in raising our children if we have pointed our children to God and we have encouraged them to develop their own relationship with God. If they, like us, can acknowledge that God is their true dwelling place. If they, like us, realize the brevity of their life and realize the importance of them living faithful unto God and preparing to leave this world for the next one. Yes, we have our children in mind. You know, it's been an observation of mine that oftentimes when you hear young people praying, there's a difference between young people praying and older people praying. We've got a lot of young men here who've recently obeyed the gospel and they have been put into the rotation and they're being used and they say our prayers. And we appreciate that. We love that. And we don't think, you know what, they're doing a good job practicing and someday they're going to be saying prayers just right. They're leading prayers. They're taking a part in our worship. And we're thankful for that. We rejoice in that. But you know, you don't hardly hear young people praying for those who are older. like you do hear older people praying for those who are younger. Because older people know what's coming. They know what's coming for the younger people. And they know the importance of the younger people being strengthened in their faith, being ready for the challenges of a life that is short and that is difficult, and being ready to go on to the next. And so it's a blessing to have our young men leading us in prayer, but it's also a blessing to sit and to listen to our aged brothers in Christ lead us in prayer. We're concerned about our children. Moses was. We are as well. And then look at this last verse. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. It's repeated for emphasis. That's the way the Hebrew works. It's repeated for emphasis. And I believe verse 17 corresponds back to verse 9. We finish our years like a sigh. Life is over and it's gone. There it is. We don't want life to end like that. We want to leave this world knowing that our life has mattered. We want to leave this world knowing that we have made a difference and that the works that we have done will be remembered, at least for the next generation. And so, Lord, give us wisdom. Number our days. Teach us to number our days and give us wisdom that we can live a life that you can bless and that you will establish the work of our hands and that it would outlive us for a while. It would be something for our children to have and something for our children to follow as they finish their course as well. What a blessing it is to be able to hear aged saints pray. What have we learned as we've listened to Moses praying here? Well, we're reminded that God is eternal and that time doesn't matter to God, and the passing of time will not change his mind and does not negate the promises that he makes to us. We know that God has all authority over us, and God has the right to hold us accountable for the way we've lived our lives here. And so we fashion our lives accordingly. We know that because of sin, our lives are difficult and our lives are temporary. But we know that we can call out to God for mercy and for comfort and forgiveness and joy. And we ask God to teach us to number our days so that we can gain a heart of wisdom and that we will make God our dwelling place. Not just here as we journey in this wilderness. And that's what that 40 years of wandering in the wilderness is. It's a type for you and I living our lives as Christians today, as we have been delivered from the Exodus. We have been delivered from Egypt, the place of bondage and sin, and we're awaiting our home in our promised land. We're wandering through our wilderness, and we need to make God our dwelling place, not just in the time to come, but we need to make God our dwelling place here and now. What a blessing it is to listen to aged saints pray. Have you found yourself somewhere in this psalm? I hope that you have. I hope we all have. And that we'll return to it time and time again and learn these important lessons. Let's pray together. Our loving Father in heaven, the eternal one, the one who established the mountains and formed the earth, and declared yourself to Moses as the great I am. We are thankful that you care enough about us that you want to make your home with us. And you've made a way for us to be able to abide with you. We pray that you would give us a heart of wisdom. We pray for our young people that they would realize that the blessings that they have lying ahead of them in life are important and are not to be wasted, and that life is to be spent seeking you, glorifying you, and drawing closer unto you. We pray that you would bless those here who are older, whose lives are becoming more frail, who deal with more pains physically and emotionally as they've traveled further in this life than others. We pray your blessings upon them, that they would have comfort and they would have peace as they serve you faithfully and set an incredible example for the rest of us. We're thankful for the blessing that you give us in life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.